This conference is being recorded.
Hey everybody, this is Mike Westerdahl here with LeanHybridMuscle.com, and I'm pumped up. I got Joe Hashy on the line tonight. He's a certified strength and conditioning specialist from New York. He owns Synergy Athletics, and he's an author of several strength and conditioning programs, including Bull Strength and the new Bull Strength Conditioning. Welcome, Joe. Thanks for being here tonight.
Mike, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good times. So I was reading on your blog on the About Us section. I just want to jump right into some background information about you. You were talking about real-world strength, working with your dad growing up. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, my dad was kind of one of those old-school guys. I guess kind of my whole family on his side was. They were basically lumberjacks from the state of Maine. And they didn't really believe much in the gym. They believed in a hard day of work and getting those man muscles, they used to say. And they used to laugh at everyone for how small their hands were and stuff like that. They were used to hauling lumber, hanging pipes and stuff. And my dad specifically was a furnace man. And we, you know, we'd be hanging pipe and carrying furnaces up and downstairs, and he used to always say that's how you get real strength. And he used to laugh at all his gym muscles, and you know, him and his friends were some of the strongest guys I've ever met in my life. I used to go shake their hands and they'd just engulf mine, and at 6'5" myself, it's kind of hard to do, but these guys are just crazy strong. And it was the introduction of that kind of strength which got me more excited towards gym workouts and combining the two to get the best results for athletes and the general population.
How old were you when you were helping your dad out and stuff?
We started, we're always two-handers, called the gophers, because we go for this and go for that. And
right.
We always send us out to go get the screwdrivers and stuff. I used to like it when I was younger. Then when I was in high school, it started to get a little bit monotonous, when I started to get a little bit of that social life in me. But that's how we used to help them out from middle school on.
That's cool. I remember I wrote an article up on the site once. I called it old man strength instead of real world strength. Sounds better, but I just, you know, doing the same stuff, helping my dad out, just working in the yard and stuff, and in high school thinking I was pretty strong and stuff, but my dad would be able to just pick rocks out of the yard that I couldn't even budge, and it's like, how can he do this? And I could bench press probably like twice as much as him because he never worked out in the gym or anything. So I know
right.
Exactly what you're talking about. That's pretty cool. But you played in high school, or you played football, and you went on to play at Colgate, right?
Yeah. In high school, I played football, basketball, and baseball. I loved playing sports. I wasn't into the training in high school yet. I did end up going to Colgate University to play football.
What position were you there?
I was a hefty old lineman.
Okay.
I went there 6'5", like I said, 305 pounds. By the time it was my sophomore year was over, I was about 315 up there.
What years were you there?
I was there, let's see, 2000 through 2002 were the two seasons I played before I got injured. Fortunately, my senior year, I didn't get to play, but that was the year they went undefeated. They went to the national championship game.
Oh, wow.
I got to watch them from the sidelines, and
it was
a weird feeling of being torn and wanting to be out there at the same time. But
what conference were you guys in?
We're in the Patriot League.
Okay.
So it was like Holy Cross, Bucknell, us, Lehigh, Georgetown, Towson. We're all in that league.
Yeah, because we played some of the same teams. I just missed you. How old are you? Are you around like 31-ish or?
Around the 28, 29.
Okay, sorry. I stayed a little longer in college, but me and Elliot actually played against each other. Yeah, I went to Central Connecticut, and he went to.
Or he played down Long Island area.
He played at St. John's.
St. John's.
So yes, we were all 1AA. Like you played Monmouth,
yeah.
They were in our conference and stuff, and we played Stony Brook and Georgetown's in the MAC and stuff like that. I don't know. I think it's all changed since we left and stuff. I think
Georgetown
just missed
over to the Patriot, but.
Yeah, so but then when you hurt your knee, that was during college. What happened after that?
I hurt both my knees in college, actually. The first time was just a scope where they go in and clean up the cartilage. But I had recurring knee problems. I had to get two what's called lateral releases. From what the doctors explained, the kneecaps aren't quite right in the knees. They were pretty complicated surgeries on both my knees, and they basically said I couldn't play sports or I shouldn't lift weights or do anything else with my legs ever again.
Could you imagine?
I couldn't imagine what it would be like if I actually listened to them. I don't know where I would be today.
Wow. That's some scary stuff to hear.
Yeah. Yep. So.
But you did go on and play after that.
Yeah, I did. I have a little bit of a stubborn streak in me. Like I said, I was around 315 pounds. It wasn't a quality 315. It was, I like going to the dining hall and eating my Philly cheesesteak sandwiches 315.
Right.
But around then is when I started to get real serious about strength and conditioning, and I ended up cutting down to 245. And then I started getting into weights a lot more, and
that sounds pretty lean for 6'5", 245. That sounds pretty lean.
Yeah, it cut right down there. It was, you know, if you do it right, I did the conditioning, I started eating right. I definitely wasn't starving myself. I just changed from eating the crafty and the good food. You'd be surprised how quick the changes come about. It was probably, maybe 5-6 months.
Oh, wow.
And it went from, like I said, cheesesteak and soda to, chicken breasts and spinach and conditioning, and it just transferred
right
around. But once I finally cut down, I started feeling better. My knees started feeling better. I started to learn how to exercise the right way without hurting myself. I did go back and play semi-professional football. When I came back to this area, there was just an upstart team that started the first year I was here, so I played 2 seasons for them. Had a good time, made the all-star team, still had it, then I hung it up.
That's cool. I mean, I know you don't like to brag or draw too much attention to it, but that's quite an underdog like success story right there, going against odds and coming back the way you did and losing all the weight. That's real motivational for people to hear, I think.
Thanks,
I would say, you said you you learned to do things the right way. So I just know from my experience in college, not to bash any of the coaches, and we had a lot of different ones there and stuff, but it probably wasn't the smartest training that we were doing at the time. I mean, I've learned a lot more as well since I've graduated. I'm wondering, what kind of stuff were you guys doing for your strength and conditioning program for the football players? What kind of stuff did the coaches make you do? Was there anything they made you do that actually was harmful for you, do you think?
Well, I think the strength portion of the program was pretty good. We had a pretty good strength coach. I think he went from Colgate, went to Oregon for a while, went there for Division I. It was basically the standard Olympic-style lifting program. And it was pretty good. Now, where it was lacking, it was good programming. You know, we had 100-plus players on the team that go in the weight room. The form coaching and cues really wasn't there. I know that if I ever saw my squat form today, what it looked like back then, I'd probably slap myself. Wasn't too good. And that was just the form side. Now, the conditioning side, I'm sure you had this experience in college. So conditioning was used more as a punishment in college. People screwed up. Your punishment was conditioning. So it kind of got this negative connotation ingrained in you because, that's what was going to happen if you did something wrong. There was this one time, I think we had a curfew around 11 o'clock, and we had the football coach. He's an excellent coach. He's still there. He used to be everywhere and see everything. I don't know how he did it. Whenever I walked down the street, I would see him no matter where I was. And a couple of guys on the team stayed out too late. It was like 11:30. They were downtown just eating pizza and all kinds of crap, and we had winter conditioning the next morning. And winter conditioning, basically, we get up at 6 a.m., go down to the field house, and we do about 20 minutes worth of drills and then condition for about 20 minutes.
Okay.
And on this day, he found out that a couple of people stayed out too late, so instead of the 20 minutes of drills, we had 40 minutes of conditioning, and all it was just sprinting 100s for 40 minutes. And I use the team term sprinting loosely. And we're running and we're running. And one of the guys who was out too late the night before, his big fat old lineman, maybe about 10 sprints in, which wasn't even halfway, he started to not feel good. He's eating all that pizza and crap the night before. And he bends over, he throws up, I kid you not, one entire mozzarella stick without bite marks in it.
Oh, my God.
So we had to condition until he ended up getting sick. A lot of people got sick that day. And not only the negative side of seeing him throw up an entire mozzarella stick, but we got conditioned so hard that our bodies were just breaking themselves down, very catabolic, just throwing stuff up. I mean, probably 10 or 20 guys threw up that day.
Yeah, it's just breaking the athletes. It's nothing to do with getting you better for football.
Yeah, that's a mental thing.
No, you're bringing back some bad flashbacks for me as
Sorry.
well. Just got a
Yeah, I'll bet
nauseous
I threw
feeling
up
just
that
now.
day. So.
You guys had curfews and stuff. Was that during the season or off season or?
Well, you know, Division One double A, it gets pretty serious. You're year round.
Yeah, like we had our conditioning in the off season. It was twice a week, I think, at like 6 a.m. for an hour. A lot of
Exactly.
plyometrics, and it was circuits. Like you had like eight different stations, and you had plyometrics at some of them, and like shuttle run drills at other ones. This is what I really hated. You'd spin in circles, and then the coach would blow his whistle and yell a color, and you had to run and touch that color while you're all dizzy and stuff.
Oh,
That
you
was the
dizzy
worst.
bat race?
Yeah.
That's funny. I've never heard of that one.
I don't know how
Ours
that helped anything. I think that was
is
just torturous.
yeah, just entertaining. Yeah, it was very similar. 2 days a week we do that, and then 2 other days a week would be speed training. But that wasn't 6 a.m. We'd get at least mid-morning for that in between classes.
Cool. So, tell me a little bit about your gym.
Well, it was originally Synergy Athletics. It started out in my garage, and it's not a very large garage. Unfortunately, I had high enough ceilings. I could fit 2 power racks in there and dumbbells. Over after I started, I trained a couple kids. They had great results. Word got out, so my client list filled up. I could only take 15 clients, working 3 hours at it, 5 clients an hour. That's all I could take, and I ran that for about 2 years, and I just expanded it on Monday. Monday was probably the busiest day of my entire life. To move everything over to the new gym, lots of new clients on Monday. Bull strength conditioning got released on Monday, and as you know, it says in the bio, I also teach high school, and I got all new students on
Yeah.
Monday
You
because of
just
half the
did
year.
that this Monday?
That was this past Monday, yep.
Wow, where'd you move the gym to?
Moved the gym to a plaza right next to the high school. So
Oh, cool.
I really couldn't turn the offer down. The rent was incredibly cheap, and it's actually sharing a building. I saw this baseball facility. They do baseball skills training. The owner used to play Major League Baseball, I think, for a couple of seasons. And really nice guy, and they have this big area in the back that they don't use, so I called him up to see if I could use it, because there's a lot of clients right there that I can convert right over to training with me
Cool.
from the baseball skills training. So moved the gym over there. It's about 15 times bigger than my basement. And that was just on Monday.
Do you leave some stuff at home too?
I have a bunch of concrete weights and a bar at home right now. So I do have
Are
some
you?
stuff in the basement.
You're married, right, Joe?
Yeah, I'm married.
So she's not taking that room back or anything? You get to keep
No.
one gym at home, and you get the other gym too?
I think
That's
that'd be a
cool.
good deal. I gotta do
Yeah.
one thing at a time. I first put the paperwork through for moving the new gym with her,
Yeah.
with Melanie, and then now it's maybe I'll start rebuilding it here.
Cool. You bring kids because you coach football and baseball, right, at the high school?
Actually, this is my fr I did coach football and baseball. I coached football for about 4 years, baseball for 2 years. I actually had to give it up this upcoming season. This last fall was my last season coaching because I have so many clients at home for personal
Okay.
training. I can't do the coaching anymore. But yeah, I don't bring a lot of kids from my own team. I talk to parents. Parents bring them over. I'm one of those people that's really kind of uncomfortable talking about yourself, and I don't want to seem like I'm advertising to kids. Here's my gym. If you want to come, come, and it gets filled anyways. So I actually get
You help
with
the
my gym.
competition of your kids, but not your kids. I'm just.
Pretty much. The gym, like I said, just moved to close to a different high school. It's not the one I teach or coach at.
Okay.
So it's just proximity-wise, a lot of kids come from that high school.
Well, that's exciting, man. Sounds like this is really taking off.
Yeah, it worked out great. Got that spot right next to a baseball place. I called a local physical therapist in town who I've been communicating with. I'm like, hey, I got this place right next to a high school. He wants to come put some tables in, so he's going to pay a lot of my rent, and I got this great facility, so it just worked out perfectly.
Well, give a shout out. What's the address and where's it at if anybody's listening that's nearby?
All right, well, it's in Endwell, New York, The name was actually Strength and Performance Headquarters. We're changing the gym name from Synergy Athletics. I mean, the website and everything will be the same. But Strength and Performance Headquarters in Hooper Road in Endwell, New York.
All right, cool. Is it a lot of high school athletes, or who do you mostly help? Or is it kind of open to everybody? Who do you prefer to train?
I prefer to train high school athletes right now. I do have, and we just moved on Monday. I had a client list of 15. It's, what day is it today? Thursday. I'm up to about 28 clients already. And they're almost all high school, eighth grade athletes. And I have one group, when I train myself, I have a couple of guys that are 30, 34, 35 that still enjoy training. They come in and train during my training hour.
Oh, cool.
So I
get what kind of workouts do you guys do, like your group that you're training with? What do you like to do?
We always like to do, you know, primary lift. It's either a powerlifting style lift, a strongman style lift, or some kind of, we've enjoyed jumping a little bit in our age. We'll do some box jumping, some all kinds of things so we can pretend like we're young again. We still play some old man basketball and try to keep up with the kids.
Nice. So what people did you study coming up as a strength and conditioning coach? Did you have any guys that you looked after or you really enjoyed their books or teachings?
Yes, certainly. I did. The biggest experience I had was with all the coaches I had in college. T.J. Reagan, who was a strength coach at Colgate, read a lot of his stuff. He kind of helped me out a lot. I picked up my basics from some guys that are local. I do, for my science and practice, I've always referred to Zach Jaworski, Science and Practice of Strength Training. That was one of the first books I read along with the NSCA material. But, you know, that gives me all the groundwork. But for the practical application, I've been very fortunate to live very close with Jim Smith of the Diesel Crew, read a lot of his material. His Combat Core Manual really got me into kind of the creative side of training.
How far away are you guys from each other?
He's about 35 minutes. So on the weekends, we'll get together and train. He'll be out training at my gym sometimes. He'll be, you know, we'll be doing some clients together, some groups together there.
Oh, that's really cool.
So I've been very fortunate to get to know him, and he's taken me to some very cool places. I know you mentioned books, but I know you know this, that Under the Bar experience is just so valuable. I've been fortunate enough to have him, try to give him the credit here. It took me down to DeFranco's, down to Zach's. We've been out to Elite, out to Westside. Getting into great gyms and just spending time with all these people, just trying to soak in all their knowledge, and it's just been a great experience.
Right, I think sometimes that's even more important than what you read about.
Yeah, it's got kind of a fusion of the two. There seems to be a lot of the trainers out there that are either real book smart, actually be able to say the word, real book smart, or have a lot of practical experience, and I think it's important to have both of them.
Right, and definitely be able to walk the walk.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing bothers me more than getting advice from somebody. It doesn't look like they take their own advice.
Exactly. I mean, you see a lot of that at the commercial gyms, with those trainers they hire there. Not all of them. I don't want to categorize all of them, but
right.
You see a trainer wearing, you know, khaki pants and a golf shirt with their belly hanging over their belt a good 6 inches. Leaning on equipment to help prop themselves up, you know, it's not a good situation for anybody.
Exactly. Well, I don't know what it's like in New York, but I trained up in Massachusetts, and you didn't have to have any certification or anything. The gyms could just hire you. There was no laws about it or anything. So
yeah.
We were going through training at some gyms, people that didn't even know what body parts were used for what exercises. It's pretty bad.
That's not good. That's not helping anyone out, not even the trainer.
How'd you get started online? How long have you had the site up and stuff? I always like to hear people's stories, how they get on the internet and start their products and stuff.
Yeah, I've been just kind of soaking in what everyone else was doing. I just had a static website. I actually started Synergy Athletics, really my business around football camps for area kids to get more involved in football. And I teamed up with a guy who played at Colgate with me, and he went on to play NFL Europe and stuff. He lives in the area as well. We teamed up to start running some football camps, and started the website from that. It was all made through like a Yahoo site builder. It looked real crappy. Made it myself. And then I started checking out these other people. I'm like, wow, I wish I could have a website like that. And that was about 2 years ago. I had no idea what a blog was. Well, I knew what a blog was, but I didn't have any concept of what it looked like. So about 2 years ago, I got the format of the site. It's the synergy-athletics.com, the way it is now with the blog. And
yeah, this looks tight. I'm on here right now.
Yeah, it's every once in a while, I throw some things in there, take some things out, just switch hosting companies because I needed to, because the other hosting company I had couldn't handle the traffic and the plugins and the stuff that I wanted to get done. So I got that site, and I actually wrote my original training manual was Bull Strength, which is the name that my dad used to call the old school strength, which is kind of written as a tribute to my dad, because I needed a manual basically for the gym so all the guys could see everything they were doing, and they had all the concepts, all my clients that were coming in. I just kind of expanded it and turned it into a manual for everyone to see. I mean, it's big. It's like 250 pages.
Wow, when did you write that?
That's about a little over a year ago that one came out.
Okay. And that's basically a manual for the type of training you're doing?
Yeah, that's the training.
At your gym?
Yep, exactly. It's kind of the training protocol that I follow for the strength side of things. And what was missing from it was the conditioning aspect. So this year, what we're talking about right now is Bull Strength Conditioning. It came out with on Monday. To kind of finish up the program, what we do for the gym portion of training athletes.
Yeah, bull conditioning. I mean, I got that open right now on my computer too. That's awesome stuff. This was such a perfect fit for, you know, any strength training program to be able to add in conditioning, especially these circuits at the end of a workout or something. I mean, people really can't stand just running on the treadmill or going for walks or elliptical machines and all the overuse injuries and just the boredom and the results it doesn't make. And checking out these circuits and things you put together, I love how the conditioning, it combines, you know, the resistance with the cardio into these circuits. It's great stuff. I mean, I think on the page where you put it up, you're saying you can do these workouts in like 15, 20 minutes. That can be the workout itself, or you can do it at the end of something else you're already doing.
Exactly. I appreciate the kind words. It was, you know, a lot of people are on, I mean, most people are on different programs. I like to try different programs. I did 5-3-1 for a while, tried out different programs, and they're all excellent programs, and this is kind of what puts the icing on the cake. This is a plug-in that can go with any of those programs, and it's just these complexes that are extremely efficient. It does say 15 to 20 minutes. I overestimated because I just didn't want anyone mad, like, oh, this takes me, you know, 15 whole minutes. It could even be less than that. Because when I was writing the manual, I tested it on myself, of course, for a couple months. You know, without changing anything, I just started adding these complexes. My strength gains were still going up, and I actually lost about 13, 14 pounds, and I wasn't even really trying to from adding them. It took me about 10 to 12 minutes at the end of my workouts.
Plus, you can go through them. I mean, if you wanted this to be the whole workout, you can piece these together yourself, and you can go through the circuit, you know, a bunch of rounds or do less rounds, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, if you have a conditioning day into your program, you can pick two of these, work them together. You can go full body, upper, lower. The program is separated into upper, lower, full body conditioning, so you can kind of pick what you want right out of the program.
Right, like if you've got a lower body power day or something, you could throw in the lower body conditioning at the end of it. If you're trying to do like body part split stuff or anything like that, I mean, it really looks like it can fit with anything. I get confused sometimes with the words. Like, you hear people say cardio, and then strength coaches hate saying cardio and stuff. What's the difference between cardio and conditioning? Can you explain that for us?
Yeah, sure. The cardio is just, you know, the cardiopulmonary system is basically how much oxygen you get into your lungs and how fast your heart can pump it, or how efficiently your heart can pump it, which might mean it could be running at a lower rate and getting the blood more efficiently out to your muscles. And it's just, cardio seems to be more specific. The reason why strength coaches don't like it, and I'm not, I'm kind of more of a centrist. I could do with it, I could do without the term. it seems to categorize people who like to do more running. They say running is cardio, your long slow distance gets the moniker of cardio, so people are starting to not like the term as much. Well, conditioning could be, you know, it's aerobic and anaerobic, especially in the bull strength conditioning program, where it's not only working on your oxygen uptake, getting into the muscle, it's also how long your muscles can endure a load. So a lot of these complexes do involve some weighted movements, even if it's, you know, just your body weight in a greater way than just running. So it's the anaerobic, aerobic parts, adding a load to your body, conditioning your muscles to withstand that kind of pressure. Because most sports, like I said, train athletes, you're going to have some sort of pressure against you, whether you're a basketball player in the post, whether you're a football player obviously firing into someone off the line. You're going to have some sort of manual resistance, and your body has to be able to get the oxygen to your muscles, and you have to be able to overcome that resistance and press against it, you know, under stress.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you take an MMA fighter, for example, that goes and jogs 5 miles, and they think they're in great cardio shape, and then all of a sudden when they're in the ring tugging and pulling and pushing, and they're dead in a matter of seconds just because they're not in the right kind of conditioning state. You're definitely training with the resistance. I mean, it's great for your muscles. Ellie and I talk a lot about how we think that reconfigures the muscle, making it, you know, stronger, bigger, and it makes it more resistant to fatigue. So, I mean, this is awesome.
Right. Like but, I tried that program out in my own program. I actually got strength gains during the conditioning when I was introducing the conditioning phases to it, and that's just like you're saying. You know, you get bigger, you get stronger, you get more efficient at, you know, your different lifts.
Plus, obviously, you're burning calories, working your lungs. So, I mean, it's got to be great for fat burning too, right?
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. I believe I read it on, I don't want to miscite it, Alan Cosgrove cited a study from, I believe, Dayton University. I'm going to have to double check that, where they did a study of all the different complexes. Styles of cardio and which ones are most efficient at fat burning. It basically came down to dumbbell complexes or barbell complexes were the most efficient in regards to the limited number of time you have to spend doing it and the amount of fat they'll burn.
It only makes sense. I mean, you're adding resistance as you're doing basically cardio. You're going to burn more calories. It's going to take you less time with more resistance.
And you're feeling that time, you're going to be fatigued. It's not an easy 10 minutes. It's not like you're going for a 10-minute stroll. It's 10 minutes
right.
of exercise, and you're done.
Well, what do you think of those trainers that tell you to stay in the, you've seen it on the machines, where it says the fat-burning zone, where you're supposed to be able to hold a conversation without getting out of breath and just stay in that zone for like 40 minutes, and you'll burn the most fat? I mean, how can they teach that stuff?
They must have learned that in marketing school, so people buy into it, but it's not. They didn't learn. They learned that from looking in the mirror, that's for sure.
Right. So why do you think people hate regular cardio compared to the conditioning? We talked a little bit about it.
Yeah, you mentioned at the beginning, you know, people get bored from doing regular cardio. That popular picture online of that person running on a treadmill that looks like a gerbil wheel. That's
right.
A bunch of different websites. You just feel like you're stuck in this monotonous, slow-paced environment. And even for people who run and don't mind that, if you want to get a strength program done at the same time, you're going to have to give up 2-3 of your days to do just that conditioning. So it's not very efficient. People get bored with it.
Right.
So
and just
I mean,
the time,
probably,
too.
Yeah, the time restraints. You're not going to go to the gym and run, or I should say run, get in your fat-burning zone. On the elliptical for 50 minutes and then lift weights for an hour and then, you know, that's 2 hours out of your evening. You get out of work at 5, you get home at 7, you eat dinner, you hang out with a wife for maybe an hour. It's just not, I mean, strength and conditioning is part of your life. It's not just out on this island all by itself. So the biggest problem people make is they just put such an overemphasis on jogging or these things that they have learned somewhere that they think is going to burn fat for them. It just doesn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I was in really good shape in college when we did a lot of conditioning and stuff like that. Then after college, I kind of got stuck in that same rut it seems a lot of people do, where you got your weight training followed by 30, 45 minutes of cardio, and the workouts just take forever, and then you have a full-time job, and you got to get home to your family and get up and do it all again the next day. It's just not practical.
Yeah, you're hitting the nail right in the head with that one, Mike.
Let's see. You talk about three biggest conditioning mistakes up on the webpage you have over at hybridconditioning.com. What are those three biggest mistakes you think most people make?
Well, the one I mentioned, you got that slow and steady. It just takes too long, and it doesn't work out well, but I'm not going to talk about that much because we just did. Probably the biggest mistake is too much too fast, where people go online to these forums, and someone will post some crazy conditioning workout that's like impossible to do. They'll post a time and be like, hey, try to beat this. Then these people go and try it, and these people can't even do a bodyweight squat, but in that program is, you know, 225 for 20 squats or something like that. And, you know, people just try to jump right into these advanced programs, and it just, you're going to quit because you're not going to be able to do it and you're going to feel crappy about yourself. It just doesn't make any sense. And it's not going, you're actually not going to burn any fat because you won't be able to do the exercises. So you do too much too fast is a big one I see now online, coupled with poor exercise selection, where people tend to pick some inefficient ways to try to burn fat, you know, talking about the elliptical, just straight jogging. It just, you know, it doesn't make sense for me.
I mean, that's, you think the main reason a lot of people are doing conditioning or cardio is to lose fat, like just to look better?
I think so. For the general fitness people, the main goal is to lose fat, not to necessarily be able to run for, you know, 7 miles. People want to look good when they look into the mirror. So that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. But, yeah, it's mostly to look good, feel good, not necessarily for the distance running benefits that a lot of people are doing, trying to do their conditioning with.
Right. I mean, it just sounds perfect. It's something, whether you're playing sports and you want to get in shape for your sport, whether you want to tone your muscles or burn fat, this is a quick way to do it all at once.
Yeah, this is kind of comes from my days of being an offensive lineman where the style of conditioning we did was running, and that sucked. Especially for a guy who's 320 pounds or making you run 100-yard sprints.
You know what else sucked was nobody else could stop running until all the linemen finished.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's good for no one. The whole team suffers. You got slow linemen, then you condition like crazy long-distance runs, and then a game you have, what, bursts of 4 feet you need to push somebody?
Right.
With it just doesn't make sense.
Somebody. I mean, it makes more sense to do conditioning on, like, the bags and stuff. You know, we're actually pushing people doing
exactly.
things like that.
Exactly. So it's kind of the bull conditioning came out of, you know, not every athlete is going to be able to run. Actually, very few people are going to be distance running. So this is high intensity. You can alter the work-to-rest ratio to fit the needs of your sport or the maximum results you want for general fitness. So this is not a running-based program. There's lots of complexes. Do mention some running activities in there to include them. It's a great activity. But it's just more than that, and hopefully this will open some people's eyes to those kind of complexes.
Yeah. Now, do you think by doing this, it's not necessarily going to make you be able to run long distance or anything like that, is it?
No. Like, you know, there is a slight carryover between, you know, running long distance and being in good conditioning. There is some small carryover between being able to do this and be able to run long distances, but it's not going to make you a marathon runner, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah, I feel I've been doing a lot of these kinds of complexes and kettlebell workouts and doing a lot of resistance cardio training, but I really haven't tried to run a few miles in a while. And I'm not sure how that would go now, wondering about the carryover, but I don't know really.
Yeah.
I'm starting to doubt whether that's even good for you to even be doing that.
Right. The only scientific study I have, and by scientific I mean not scientific, I had to take my car to the garage the other day. And it's like 3/4 of a mile from my house. I had to drop it off there and walk home. It was so cold, I just had to jog home. And, you know, not to chew my own horn, I was hauling ass pretty good. On the way home, it was freezing. Maybe it was a placebo effect or something. But I didn't get gassed, so
nice.
I was able to make the 3/4 of a mile, and I haven't run distance in a long time.
What's the temperature up there right now?
Right now, it got real cold this week. It was probably down maybe 10 degrees or so, 10, 20.
Wow.
So what's the temperature down there?
You don't want to know.
I know. I was about to hate you a little bit.
You have better weather these summers though. That's when it's like 100, over 100 down here.
Yeah, I can't do that. I'm a sweater.
Yeah, can you do these workouts outdoors and stuff, or are they mostly indoor gym type workouts for the bull conditioning?
Well, I've been getting some questions about that in the email. There's actually a little bit of both. I would say the majority of the complexes do come from either using dumbbells, barbells, or body weight, so you can do those in your house with your body weight or at the gym with barbell, dumbbell. There are a few in there, like the rundown, some sled dragging variations that you can do outdoors as well, but it's certainly not necessary. It kind of gives you a choice. You know, whatever you got, you can find something to fit in this program.
Yeah. It's all varying kinds of equipment. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can do with your body weight, but then there's some stuff you'll need a couple pieces of equipment for, but there's a ton of variety in here.
Yeah, exactly.
Things can definitely be modified, too. Do you have any grip stuff in the book? I know you're big into grip training, too. That's not really part of conditioning, though.
Yeah, for grip conditioning, I didn't really include much grip conditioning in this one. The original bull strength manual, I think, is like 30 pages of grip exercises or something like that. But the conditioning manual doesn't, for the simple reason that the time we have to train grip, we usually go for max just crushing strength. We really grip endurance to be able to, you know, do long-term kettlebell swings or flips. You could get some grip endurance, but we're just looking for that one-time feat of strength, really.
Right. Yeah, I spent a whole hour talking with Smitty one time just about grip stuff.
Yeah, he's got those Popeye forearms.
Yeah. How'd you get into grip so much? Did you like it from, you know, from working with your dad and stuff, or when did you start getting into grip training?
Well, working with my dad certainly played a role in it. I wouldn't call myself a grip training expert on the level of, you know, Jed and Smitty out there, the Diesel crew. I got into it because, not necessarily for the sake of grip, I got into it because I identified a weakness that a lot of athletes have, and it's they have weak hands. So it wasn't necessarily that I wanted to do grip. It was I wanted to fix athletes who are weak. Their weakness was hands. They couldn't hold on to people. They couldn't push people around. They couldn't grab a rebound. They couldn't snap a good pitch off because they're trying to throw with a noodle for a wrist and a hand. So,
right, so the wrist is part of the grip?
Yes, absolutely. You know, when you close your hand, you feel those muscles in your wrists go in and out. When you extend your fingers, your extensors, you feel it. So it's all, you know, from, you know, the elbow included up down to the fingertips are all part of the strength.
Is that like is that one of the weakest links, or it depends on the person?
It depends on the person, but it's usually grip, and, you know, just for a starting point, this is what I would look at if they're good and great. It's usually grip, and it's usually actually the core strength. Surprisingly enough, even though people love to do their crunches, it's not anything that you can use in a sport or for, you know, your real world old man strength health.
So if you're doing a max effort deadlift and you don't drop the bar, but something else, you don't get it at the top for the lockout or something, then your grip might be, you know, proportional. You might have some other areas to work on instead.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you have any favorite grip exercises you like to do?
Well, I love good grip exercise. Let's see. We do the plate pinches. Oh, favorite grip exercise is probably card tearing. We got a stack of cards in the gym. I got a Jed Johnson on the Diesel crew told me how to tear decks of cards. He's like, you know, start with a half deck and then work up. No, of course not. We started with the whole deck. It took us like 15 minutes to try to get through it. Our pinkies hurt and stuff. But I actually got down to tearing decks of cards. That's probably my favorite. Maybe once a month I'll break that one out, and it's not just a feat of strength; it's a serious exercise. You're sore.
You gotta break that out every time you go to a party or go to a football game with your friends. Anytime people haven't seen you do that, you gotta whip that out.
In the class for my students.
Right.
Carry around a deck card in my pocket just in case someone sasses me, just rip them in half.
Yeah, you don't even have to scare people. You just take the deck of cards out and rip it in front of them.
You remember that old game, 52 card pickup, 104 card pickup, boom. ripping half of them out.
That's crazy. I'd love to learn how to do. I mean, you took a long time learning how to do it. Is there a lot of technique, or is it really just getting your hands strong?
Well, there's a little bit of technique. So one hand, the only grip I use is the S hook. You kind of put your hands like an S, squeeze really hard, and then twist. If you're strong enough, they rip.
Okay. How do you practice? Just by ripping less cards?
Yeah, that's what they said. Just rip less cards. Like I said, we just went full deck and went for it. I full deck again and again, so finally we were able to rip full decks. So I didn't feel like buying more decks of cards is running up the bill after a while.
That's cool. People are just obsessed with grip when it comes to like athletes and strength competitors and stuff. I was over at this powerlifting meet this weekend called the Raw Unity Meet over in Tampa, and I don't know if you know Pro APT Pro Gear, but he's got different grip things and stuff like that, and I was hanging out behind his booth. Every single person that walks in the booth picks up those, you know, heavy grip things and wants to see what they can close. And there was this one huge one that nobody could close. They're like, he offered anybody that closes it like $1,000 cash if they just close it. I'm like, how many people have closed it? He's like, nobody's ever closed that.
I know the heavy grippers compared to what you buy at like a Walmart are insane. How is that?
Right.
I'm going to screw up the name. National Grip Challenge, whatever Jed and Smitty put on this last year. I think Andrew Jernia ended up winning it. These guys it's crazy to see the strength. They're just, you know, picking up inch dumbbells, you know, pushing them around, tearing decks of cards. The guys who are into it are really into it, and there's, you know, good grip competitions popping up around.
Yeah, that's cool. I haven't gotten into it that much. I like it, but I didn't know about the competitions and things like that.
Yeah, I guess I was talking to Jed the other day. They're actually having a grip contest at the Arnold this year with Jed in it, Andrew Durney. I think Mark Henry's in it. Strongman from Jamaica, Felix, is in it.
That's right up there now with arm wrestling and everything else.
Yeah, get into it. Like I said, I don't categorize myself as a grip guy. Probably more like you. Where it's just part of a program where I, you know, my deadlift sucked. I needed to get stronger hands, and I just started picking up some exercise that I really enjoy. So it's just part of my strength program.
Like, do you keep track of PRs as far as, like, one rep maxes and different exercises, or do you go more for reps and things? Or?
We do both. We do both. The big gym thing everyone tries to compete against is pretty much 225 for reps, which I know the NFL Combine takes a lot of hits because it's not necessarily an indicator of athleticism, but a lot of the people at the gym can do 225, so that's kind of our the one that a lot of people get into. Probably about 8 guys that get into it now.
What's the record at the gym? Do you keep track up on a board and stuff?
Yeah, the record at the gym is 27 right now.
Nice.
I have the record of 27. My brother is 26. I have a high school junior that just hit 22 last week. And a high school freshman that just hit 17. So it won't be too long before those kids crush me.
Well, that means you're being a good coach if they do.
Yeah. I need to listen to my own advice, like you said, start getting strong like those guys.
So you just had a baby, right? Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, he's Logan. He's about 5 weeks old now. It's flying by.
Oh, wow. You've got a lot going on lately.
Yeah. I forgot to even include baby in my how crazy my Monday was.
Yeah, that's about it. Is that your first kid?
Yeah, it was our first child. My wife did not want to know what it was. It was a surprise. We had a boy. Not that I was hoping for a boy, but I was. So we got Logan here now. He's upstairs with my wife. Being pretty good right now, which is good. So I can get on this call.
Wow, that's really cool. So what's next? Taking care of the baby, you open the gym, do you have any other projects coming on? What are you doing the rest of this year?
Well, for the next 6 months, the Bull Strength Conditioning membership site, where I'm sending a lot of videos to people who got the upsell, join the membership site, which is a $17 a month, where I send them a lot of conditioning videos, so I've been making a lot of videos for that. That's my big project. After, you know, bull conditioning, it took me about a year to make, and, you know, people don't think it takes that much work to go into it and process it and test it. I mean, it takes a ton of time. I'm going to hopefully just build the gym for a while, take a break from the online manuals and stuff like that, and concentrate on my clients, get back into that in about 6 months.
Well, sounds like a plan. Good luck with everything, and who knows where this interview is going to wind up. So everybody definitely go check out our sites. We got leanhybridmuscle.com. Your main site is synergy-athletics.com, right?
Yeah, I got that damn hyphen in there. There's other sites. There's not even anything there, but I can't get the domain. So synergy-athletics.com is where I've been at for a few years now.
Cool. And then definitely check out Joe's new book, Bull Strength Conditioning. You can find that at hybridconditioning.com. So thanks a lot for being on the call tonight, Joe. It was great talking to you.
And, Mike, it's great talking to you, too. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Joe. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, guys. Thank you.